League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Our thanks to Peter Kingston, all the waiters and waitresses, and everybody working the floor here today at the gorgeous Gale. Again, the number to call in, 713-780-3776 when it comes to getting your World Cup thoughts. And Santiago Formoso, who played for the New York Cosmos, was from Spain when he moved to New Jersey and played for the legendary New York Cosmos. He's got a note here from him. He said, "I'm here, brother. Sad way to go, but Spain did not do enough to deserve it." I remember him once playing against an 18-year-old Diego Maradona at Giants Stadium in front of 70,000 people after Argentina had won the 78 World Cup. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. As we continue to roll on here, we'll take your phone calls. We're going to begin to get a little bit deeper into Mexico and Brazil. Juan Carlos Osorio vowing to attack. I don't think he's got a choice, quite frankly. I think if a Mexican team coming out to defend and use that as a priority over the course of 90 minutes is a Mexican team that's going to die to the sword of Brazil. So I don't think any question. It's exciting to hear a manager say that. Now let's see, certainly, if they follow through. Getting a number of people weighing in on the shootout today. I posed the question, which is the biggest disappointment? Spain, Argentina, or Germany? Which is the biggest surprise to you? Spain, Argentina, or Germany exiting this World Cup? 713-780-3776. So Kenneth Morgensen, there will be a Danish Club of Houston watch party today. Yeah, that's the one Jan Christensen was at, of Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. And then he came over here to where the real party was at the Gorgeous Gale. But the Danes were out in force today. You got to love that. It's a part of it. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. So let's start talking about Mexico, Brazil. We'll bring Naib Moran up. And we have seen his writings. He was on the show yesterday talking about the World Cup. Also has been a writer for ESPN FC. So Naib making his way up here. Mexico and Brazil tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. right here. Get in for the breakfast show at the Gorgeous Gale. GorgeousGale.com. That game tomorrow in Samara. It's certainly a big opportunity for Neymar to take the spotlight now, since Cristiano Ronaldo of Portugal has exited, and Lionel Messi of Argentina as well. Before we get into Mexico, Brazil, Naib, and welcome back again. We appreciate your insight. Biggest disappointment for you exiting the World Cup, Argentina, Spain, or Germany?
Look, I mean, I think the easy one to go to would be Germany, but I think I would go with Spain. You know, I think their qualifiers were excellent. You know, they had a good games against Italy. Then they had that great friendly against Argentina. They put six past Argentina in a friendly in Madrid. You assume that everything was going to click together. But then again, the accident happened. You know, the accident when Lopetegui decided to agree to coach Real Madrid, that kind of changed the whole thing. And we saw what happened there. You know, a manager leaves the national team 3 days before the World Cup starts, and that puts the team in some sort of turmoil. No, the players don't know what's going to happen. Everyone assumed that because Hierro was a great player, a great captain, that it was going to go the same way as a manager. But as we've seen, I think Hierro did fell into traps as a manager.
What were the traps?
I would say that, you know, understanding when should he have played Diego Costa. Was it all right to always play with a number nine? Knowing that the style of Spain usually had a false nine identity, no?
But then yesterday everybody was complaining about Argentina not playing with a striker. I mean,
yeah.
We can second-guess managers all we want, and I agree, that's a part of it. But look at the names on this team. Asensio, Isco, Silva. They had close to 80% of the ball. They were in a position to win this game. I get the turmoil around and the coach leaving, but these are guys that have played together before. Do you really think that was the priority, the fact that a managerial change was made on a day where for 90 minutes, you know, what I don't see is I don't see the aggressive Spain. I don't see the Spain changing their tempo. I don't see the ball leaving their feet quick enough. Penetration wasn't there. I didn't see guys taking people on. What was it?
No, I mean, I think it's what I see the problem here as well is finding the right pieces or finding the right combination to work. You know, heading into the World Cup, he had three striker options: Rodrigo, Diego Costa, Iago Aspas. Iago Aspas is not the cachet name because he's coming from Celta de Vigo.
Sub.
You know, but when he would come in, I think the team did seem to understand a little bit the movements, the spaces, and finding those combinations that tend to happen, especially with Isco and Iniesta. Because, you know, if I see those three strikers, Costa, Aspas, and Rodrigo, the one that's the most similar to David Villa, I think, is Iago Aspas. So let's try to build on that and try to build some momentum with that. But he really didn't receive a shot. He was always coming off the bench, Iago Aspas. He did it today. He's coming off the bench, and unfortunately he missed one of the penalties.
But for managers, don't you think when they're really struggling to make the brave decision, they're always going to go back to the true and tried?
Yeah.
Okay, and I think that may have been Yogi Löw's problem with Germany as well, right?
Yeah.
Because
it works
could
so
have
well.
Freshened that team up more. Then again, that meant maybe benching a Khedira, an Ozil.
Taking Sané.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so I think the fallback position is always, because the other part of it is then you have a star player that, you know, is not in your camp now as the manager. And part of being a manager is making sure that your star player is with you, right? No telling what was going on with Jorge Sampaoli and Sampaoli with Argentina. But, yeah, I think sometimes the brave decisions aren't made. I thought the teams today were not brave, all four of them. I thought they weren't brave. All fair play to those that advanced. I would say that anybody that advanced from penalty kicks was fortunate.
Yeah, no, and I think what you're saying is pretty clear. I mean, with Spain, the reason I consider it a failure is because he couldn't find the right combination, knowing all the talent that you just listed.
Jeez.
I mean, and all the possession they had in the game. You know, and also it comes the crush of identities. For example, Coque, Saúl, Diego Costa, they come from Atletico Madrid. And Atletico Madrid plays a style that is not the Spanish style that has made it successful. So when you have a player like that, like Coque and Diego Costa, plugged into this Spain, the players have to adapt to this style that is more direct. You know, they have to know how to feed Costa. If you don't feed Costa, Costa becomes kind of like a ghost on the pitch. And I think that is also the difficulty.
Over-dependent on that type of a striker.
Yeah, over-dependent. And perhaps it's not fair to make Costa such a crucial element of the style of play of Spain.
Yeah, but that's I think that's a great point you raise. You sometimes are putting people in a position to fail, and your expectations may exceed what they can actually do.
Yeah, I mean, David Silva before the World Cup said, you know, when he was asked about how they're doing with Diego Costa and how he's just, and look, let's not take anything about Diego Costa. Costa scored goals in this tournament.
Sure,
but
in the beginning.
The collective result of Spain wasn't what was expected heading into this tournament. You know, and let's put emphasis on this too, Glenn. In 2014, when Germany won the World Cup, Bayern Munich was a huge influence in that team. No, they were doing well at club level, and that translated to good form in the national team. Most of the 11 was part of the Bayern Munich. In 2010, when Spain won the World Cup, Barcelona was a big element in the obtention. You had Puyol, sure. You had Piqué, you had Busquets, you had Xavi Hernandez, you had Iniesta. You know, and all that worked in favor of the national team. Well, here Spain in 2018, you know, you have good players in Real Madrid, you have good players in Atletico Madrid, you got good players in Barcelona, but the mesh wasn't there. It just never worked, you know, because Asensio and Isco come from Real Madrid, and it's a different way of seeing the game. You know, there's more of a foreign, what's the word? There's better foreigners in Real Madrid, you know. And the same can be said of Barcelona now. You know, you see Suarez, you see Messi,
yep.
You see the influence that they have, Paulinho. You know, it's different times, I'd say, in the Spanish game, and a lot of time for reflection. I mean, I think no one expected them to be out at this stage.
And I think, you know, what's interesting, too, is we sometimes forget that this is pulling a bunch of people together that have come off of long seasons. Now they've got to produce in a short tournament. They almost have to get rebooted. They don't have a chance, really, to take a collective break. And for teams that have a very clear identity, like we saw with Uruguay yesterday, they know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
There's no, you know, Godin may lose a guy on a corner and Pepe will head a ball in, but they know exactly how tactically they're going to play the game. I thought they played a perfect first 45
against
Portugal.
Yeah,
and you
can say that that's been the best performance from a team overall.
But they know who they are, and you can sense that they're feeling, okay, we have an opportunity to do something special here. Uruguay hasn't won a World Cup since way, way back.
Yeah.
And it would almost be like a first-time World Cup winner, strictly in modern times,
exactly.
If Uruguay were to pull this off. Now, I hope, I think we saw an incredible performance from a striker in Edinson Cavani, and such a shame he went off with, I believe, is a hamstring injury, so I don't know if he's going to be available. I hope he is. I think if he's extracted from that game due to injury, that would really be kind of sad for that Uruguay-France matchup.
Yeah, no, and I'll take a lot of flavor out of it. You know, you see the potential of seeing Varane and Umtiti versus Suarez and Cavani, and that's going to generate a lot of attention and color to the game. But now it's a challenge for the ones that will receive that opportunity, no? Because like you said, Glenn, yeah, Cavani's out, but the skeleton of the team is still kind of intact. You know, you still have Suarez in there. You still have Godin. You have Jimenez, who, you know, those two center backs know how Griezmann plays. They know how he moves on the field really well. And that could play into the advantage of Uruguay, knowing how, you know, this versatile attacker. Of course, everyone's talking about Mbappe, but Griezmann is also an important element to the French national
team.
Well,
they're not going to have the space to run into that they had in the prior game there against Argentina. The Uruguay is not going to leave themselves that open, and they're going to say, okay, Mbappe, you guys, Griezmann, with your movement and mobility, you're going to have to break us down because we're not going to give you a lot from behind. There's not going to be space for you to get in behind. You're going to have to recognize when we lose our shape, and you're going to have to see it quickly to take advantage of it, but it's going to be a very different type of attacking game, I believe, for them. Here's a couple tweets coming in Twitter, Glenn Davis-Sock. It was very entertaining. This is from Justin. Nice to see a young team have success. I believe he was referring to France.
Yeah.
Ruben Dominguez, my buddy who works for Fox 26. A few sparks from Spain, but Russia has been consistent with their defense. Hashtag 26 for life. Hashtag Fox 26 Houston. Chino says, in reference to Russia, what a story, so happy for the hosts, Russia. Then let's see what else we got here. Ruben Dominguez, holy Moscow. Okay, I got it, Ruben. Okay, I just got it. I'm a little slow sometimes. I just got it. Holy Moscow. Okay. Not Santa says, this tournament has been crazy. Can't wait for Mexico-Brazil tomorrow. All right, let's get into Mexico and Brazil. Juan Carlos Osorio has said that Mexico intends to attack, will attack. Not a surprise to me. Is that anything surprising to you?
I think that has been his essence, you know, as Mexico manager, not to, you know, taking those risks and not being afraid to attack. We saw it against Germany. I mean, starting Vela, Chicharito, and Chucky Lozano, it worked well. They have that example. They have that to sort of motivate themselves and be like, okay, we did it against the defending world champion. Now we're probably playing the favorite to win this World Cup in Brazil and try to build those mechanisms, no? But I think the question here is how did the game against Sweden affect the overall, you know, character of the team? It was a
kind of imploded
hammering
in that game.
Loss.
It was a hammering,
and no doubt
a hammering. You got to get out of jail card from South Korea.
And how do you recover from that? And how do you put everything together and enter this match with the firm motivation that you can actually get the results against Brazil? You know, I think the results that occurred yesterday and today, especially seeing Russia eliminate Spain, is reason for motivation, you know, to think, well, if these teams did it, why can't we?
You already knocked Germany out. You provided the early shocker in the tournament. That had to bring some tremendous confidence. The rebooting has to come from a manager, staff, guys like Chicharito.
Yeah, and I think
this is a mature enough team that can respond.
I think Osorio's tenure needed a result of that sort. You know, the Germany result solidified or gave proof that Osorio's work and the national team is actually working, even though there's a pass that has had bumps, you know, in the road. But the result against Germany kind of certifies that, you know, there is an idea that Osorio is implementing in the team. The players believe in him, which I think is important. And then tomorrow against Brazil, you know, with what he has available, you know, of course, the miss of Moreno is important because, first of all, he's a left center back.
Hold that thought because we're in a hard break because I want to take you into Hector Moreno, how much of a loss he's going to be. I want to begin to tactically talk about where the strengths of Mexico are and what area of their game without the ball tomorrow are they going to have to be very, very good in against Brazil, because as good as Mexico is with the ball, you know, Brazil's certainly going to match them, if not have a little bit more of the possession in that game. So we'll talk about that when we come back. It's Mexico-Brazil, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Mexico got a lot of criticism after the Sweden loss. We expected that they've put that behind them. Brazil is a country that, quite frankly, is expecting a sixth World Cup. And they're smelling it even more because they know Germany's out. And Argentina's out. Portugal is out.
Spain
is out. So a lot of the big teams are out, and people are going, wow, this is incredible opportunity. We will have to go through differing soccer nations, but the opportunity is there for both Mexico and Brazil tomorrow. We'll take a break here. Again, join me on Thursday here at the Gorgeous Gale. That'll be a 7 o'clock show. That'll be show number 3 out of 7 live that we're doing. We're going to recap what is the round of 16. We'll have live guests, giveaways, all right here in West University, 5555 Morningside Drive. This is the place to be during the World Cup. Today, a great crowd for the Croatia match against Denmark. TheGorgeousGale.com, our good friend Peter. Get out to the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside Drive. More with Naib Maran when we come back.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside Drive. In the Rice Village area, our thanks to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They are the presenting sponsors here of the second hour. Texas Children's handles the first hour. We thank our presenting sponsors very much for their support of soccer and getting it on the radio. DaspitLaw.com. Now, we all, unfortunately, will at some point get in an accident with a car, motorcycle, industrial. You might work construction. You might work at a plant or refinery. You might even drive an 18-wheeler. And when you do, you need support, and you need somebody that's going to cover you and will work for you 24/7 nights and weekends. And that's John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They'll give you the representation you need. They'll fight for your right for compensations. It is DaspitLaw.com. They are a presenting sponsor of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And a big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. I do want to remind you, Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc, Facebook, Soccer Matters, Instagram, Glenn Davis Soc are places you can find us. We're going to give you also our website in a little bit for T-shirts, mugs, things that we're doing for Soccer Matters. We have a couple out here right now. So we're getting prepared for the big match tomorrow morning. It's Mexico. We'll be taking on Brazil in the morning, and I think this is going to be certainly a highly anticipated match here in Houston. We're talking with Naib Marin. So when we left at break, we were talking about the importance of Hector Moreno. He is suspended for this game and out. Tell us about Hector Moreno, and how is Ayala going to produce a performance of a lifetime here against Brazil?
No, Ayala, an experienced Mexican center back. He's played his whole career in Liga MX, a starting center back for Tigres. And, of course, in the last years, Tigres has been one of the main Mexican clubs in the league. I think we have to make emphasis. I mean, heading into this World Cup, the starters in the center back position were Néstor Araujo and Héctor Moreno. You know, Néstor Araujo didn't even make the World Cup due to an injury he suffered over there in Arlington in a friendly against Croatia, so he's out of it. So now Moreno is suspended. So there you take away Osorio the possibility of not having his two main starting center backs in his whole tenure. And now he has to improvise. You know, he puts Salcedo as a left center back and Ayala right center back. The thing, though, that is helpful is that Salcedo played as left center back many times with Eintracht Frankfurt in the season in this past Bundesliga. I think that Ayala did okay against Germany. That's his start that, you know, it was actually Salcedo as a right back, Ayala as a right center back, Moreno left center back, and Gallardo as a left back. There's potential to have some switches, especially in the back line. You know, maybe there's going to be three in the back, maybe, with Edson Alvarez, Salcedo, and Ayala. They're switching and then having Layun as a right wing back and Gallardo as a left wing back and maybe doing something there in the center that could surprise a little bit Brazil. You know, there's still, I think, Osorio, with what he has available, he can still surprise.
Remember, they're going up against Gabriel Jesus, yeah. Coutinho, Willian, and then Neymar. And of course, Neymar and Willian they're very tricky guys because they can become inverted very quickly. I mean, obviously, Neymar comes inside so much. He is not going to have Marcelo storming up the left side. So you're going to wonder how that affects Neymar. But that whole, when wingers come in inverted, boy, there's moments of hesitation when those guys get into spaces that people are looking at another guy saying, hey, you know, you're picking him up. And it's that blink of the eye that it's in the back of the net against Brazil with the caliber of those guys. So this collective defending from Mexico and the way they play without the ball tomorrow is almost, to me, the bigger issue. I know what Mexico can do with the ball. I know how good they are with the ball. When they don't have the ball, that's where they're going to have to shine tomorrow, I think, Naeem.
Yeah, and we saw that 4 years ago, no, in that group stage match against Brazil. It was a 0-0 draw, and Ochoa was the main player, the player of the game in that match, the Mexican goalkeeper. So I think a performance of that sort will be needed because Brazil, with what you just mentioned, has a lot of assets in the offense. And you know, they also have Paulinho, who likes to come as a surprise into the box.
Deep,
and,
yeah.
You know, starts deep and then all of a sudden appears as a striker and scores, you know. I think what was a detail of concern was how Herrera lost a lot of balls in the game against Sweden. You know, you can't have those type of losses against Brazil. Because
overpowered Brazil, by Sweden?
I think that was one of the causes, you know. I think Sweden really studied Mexico's midfield pretty well and break through easily. You know, whenever Mexico was high up attacking, they would be vulnerable in the back, and I think Sweden took advantage of that, you know.
Past six World Cups, Mexico has not gotten out of the round of 16. Probably the most infamous one is when the United States knocked them out in 2002, one that still hurts.
Yeah, it still hurts.
Is there a psychological block at the round of 16? I mean, the press certainly builds it up in a major league way, but I guess there's some truth to that, and I think it's fair, and I think it's fair criticism. What do you think this whole round of 16 thing is? Is it a hex, or
At certain moments, it feels actually like a curse, you know, that Mexico has to deal with. You know, they tend to play against, you know, what hurts a lot of the result against Sweden is that Mexico had a good shot of playing Switzerland in the round of 16, had they just draw with Sweden. But they lost it, and now they got to play against a five-time world champion. And that's kind of the tendency that has occurred with Mexico. It tends to play teams that have already won the title that are considered very favorites. I mean, we saw it in 2006 World Cup when they played against Argentina. In 2010, they played Argentina again. 2014, yeah, it was the Netherlands, and the Netherlands might not have won a World Cup yet, but they're always there, no? They're a team that's going to be a contender whenever they show up to the big dance. And I think now with Brazil, it's just this, it kind of feels new at least. Mexico has never played Brazil in a round of 16. And there has been events or games where Mexico has gotten the result against Brazil. You know, maybe not in a World Cup yet. You know, they have
not
never
in
scored
a World
a goal,
Cup, but
in terms of like Confederations Cup in 1989,
they've gone toe to toe with them in Copa Americas.
Copa Americas in 2007, I think it was a game where Mexico won 2-0 in Venezuela. 2005 Confederations in Germany, Mexico beat Brazil 1-0 over there in Germany in 2005 Confederations Cup. And now if we look at, you know, youth tournaments, in 2005 U-17 tournament, Mexico beat Brazil 3-0 in the final in 2005. And, you know, players like Vela were part of that national team.
Let's reset things a little bit. So here's what we got, we know already. We have quarterfinals, Nizhny Novgorod. It will be Uruguay and France. I think the big talking point there is if Edinson Cavani is going to be available for Uruguay. That is a different challenge for France against a lower block defensive type Uruguay that has two incredible strikers, but that fitness piece will be a big one. We already have on July 7th in Sochi, you'll have Russia against Croatia. Russia will probably, one would imagine, try to repeat maybe to a degree what they did against Spain, although I would think Russia's got to try to come out and play a little bit more soccer and not sit back that deep. So there's four places left to be claimed for the quarterfinals. We have not talked about the second match tomorrow. We start off with Brazil and Mexico. There are going to be people that don't sleep tonight in Houston, Texas, out of anxiousness and excitement about that game, which is going to be incredible. And then you got Belgium and Japan after that. So let's talk about Belgium, because we've talked about wanting to see, at least I have, I'm up for seeing a first-time winner. I want to see somebody new win it. I want to see another country be able to claim a World Cup. There's only been eight in the history of it. I would love to see a Belgium with Eden Hazard and Kevin De Bruyne. They've navigated their group play the way they wanted. They've been able to rest people. They got to be heavy, heavy favorites against Japan.
No, they do. I mean, I think what they have shown in the group stage, you know, they 9 points out of 9 possible points. Really stacked in the attack. I mean, with Lukaku and Hazard.
Lukaku's got 4, by the way, talking about goal scores.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is also important for the momentum of the team. The team right now is heading into this knockout rounds with the idea that they can beat anybody. You know, and I think that says a lot about where they're at right now. You know, but when you try to find if there's weakness points with Belgium, you think about Witzel, who plays in China. You know, and not having that intensity, and if they play an intense team, could that end up affecting a little bit? You know, not having, you know, that intensity that the Champions League tournament gives you. You know, having those minutes or whatnot. You know, and Carrasco the same way he plays in China as well.
Well, intensity ratchets up in the round of 16. So let's see how that gets lifted by Roberto Martinez in Belgium.
De Bruyne is playing deep as well, you know, so he's more of a creator and
organizer, really a controller, a guy that really is with his range of passing, trying to bring everybody into the game. The interesting thing for me is seeing Thierry Henry on the bench for Belgium, wondering why the heck France didn't get him to work with their strikers. He's on the bench and has been working with Lukaku and all the strikers for Belgium. We're going to take a quick break here, 55-55, Morningside. We're going to wake up a little bit here. We're going to finish out strong here. We'll be back here on Thursday. Everybody's going to be coming here tomorrow to watch Mexico kick it off against Brazil in the morning, then in the afternoon. One of the tournament favorites, quite frankly. Belgium, who has never won a World Cup, will be taking on Japan. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776. We've been talking to Naib Moran, writer, podcast, you name it. He's done it. He has followed the Mexican League, the Mexican national team, formerly of ESPN FC, very up on everything Mexico and the world of soccer. Before we go to break here, we just want to remind you again about Advantage BMW. I've driven a BMW for years. In fact, I've leased and owned from Advantage in Midtown. They love soccer down there. They're loving the World Cup. they've got all kinds of great buys down there and things going on. If you like the ultimate driving machine, then you want to drive a BMW. The other thing is the customer service, which is a big piece to me. Customer service, second to none. Advantage BMW has you covered. Sales, service, finance, it can be done easy. Get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW, Midtown Advantage, BMWHouston.com. Go down there, Philip Southwick, Justin McGahee, Sergio Martinez, all guys that love the sport of soccer. And you'll notice that the people that advertise on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, they are all lovers of soccer. And they're all into the World Cup. We'll take a Bud Light break. We'll come back. We got more to come here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
Is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
Flowers and my love will never to come back.
And by Marco Asensio. And into the net it goes. Sergio Ramos rails away. Precisely the start Spain wanted. But Russia caught nothing, defending at the set piece.
Ended up being an own goal, not credited to Sergio Ramos. But that was the early exchange. 713-780-3776, 55-55, Morningside Drive is where we are. The early exchange came two goals in the first 4 minutes between Denmark and Croatia. Denmark would come out. That was an own goal as well to start the game. 713-780-3776. So tomorrow morning, Brazil and Mexico. And then we have Belgium and Japan in the afternoon. The following day, we have Sweden taking on Switzerland. We can talk about that again as well. And then Colombia and England. We got a roundtable going on here for the next two segments. Naib Moran, now from Soccer Matters, also joining us, Victor Ariza. Victor, thank you for hopping on the mic here.
No problem.
And I guess I'll ask you the first question that I asked Naib when he came on. Biggest disappointment, Argentina, Germany, or Spain?
Has to be Germany. It has to be Germany because they went out in the group stage. I mean, Argentina still, you know, fixed it a little bit. They at least got to the round of 16. You know, disappointment because they didn't go farther. They didn't win the group. But, dude, hands down, it has to be Germany. Because this is the reigning World Cup champion. They are stacked. They dominated the Confederations Cup last year with their youth. And then they come into this team and they flop. They were too slow. They get beaten by the three other teams in their group. We'll get to Novo, yeah.
Novo, what do you got on your mind? 713-780-3776. What do you got to say, Novo?
Glenn, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
All right, doing good. This is a great World Cup, man. I miss the fact that the U.S. is not in it because we would have had a clear path to the championship. Because with Italy out, locked in there, with Netherlands not there, and now Argentina is out, Spain is out. Man, the U.S. I can see the U.S. right there at the semifinal. But we got hope because the young boys that we have right now in the U.S., I think we're going to win it in 2028.
Well, the good news is, yeah, that's the silver lining. That's the silver lining. The silver lining in not qualifying is I think we've accelerated the process of trying to improve what's going on with soccer in this country. I think it's going to bring some other people, hopefully, to the table. But what you've just mentioned with the young talent that have been on the under 20 and under 17 national teams, they're getting opportunity now that they never would have gotten if the U.S. would have qualified. It would have been the same old, same old. This is accelerating the moving on of the Clint Dempseys and all these legendary players because they're not going to be a part of the next World Cup.
Yeah.
So. I don't know if you saw, the U.S. just released a schedule of friendlies that are going to take place, and it's all big-name teams.
Yes.
All big-name teams. It's not, you know, these usual friendlies. They're going to try to put these kids, if they're smart, into real cauldrons against the world's best and to really give them the opportunity to make mistakes, blood themselves, and accelerate the development. I don't think any question. So that's the silver lining in not being here, and in some ways it may have been the healthiest thing that could have happened. I know we don't have all the nationalistic pride going on not being participants in this, we can look at it from that angle as well.
But Glenn, I don't know, you have an inside track. I think the network television stations and the radio stations, I must give credit to ESPN and Fox, because they are trying to promote soccer, which is good, but they are not doing it consistently in a way that will give them good results. And I'll tell you this, if you want to televise games, make it standard that on, say, 10 o'clock every Sunday or 11 o'clock every Saturday, if I turn on this channel, I will see a MLS soccer game. You don't have to move it around. This Sunday is 5 p.m. The next week is 3 p.m.
I agree.
That rate, you are not able to measure, a metric, measure the amount of viewers, because viewers, when they come in, or it's not here today, the next week, they're not going to tune in. So let's make the broadcast to be constant. Because if you look at the World Cup, maybe with the U.S. not participating, the ratings from U.S. viewership is quite high. You know, because, hey, a lot of my buddies at work and everybody, we are watching it. So soccer is big in this country. If we can actually tailor it, get the yardstick to measure and have the advertisers coming.
I think what you're saying is incredibly important. I think what you have to factor in, though, and this is, you know, the part of television that's difficult for soccer, is it's very difficult to have a consistent time slot because of some of the other programmings that go on. I think this is real commentary that you're providing here, because you do want to make it easy for people.
Okay. Okay. How about MLS TV? Have a TV station where we know that, like, for instance, the American NFL football, I know by 11 a.m. on Sunday, it's going to be on. So let's get a TV channel. We know constantly by 3 p.m. on Sunday, the game is on. So I'm telling you, if you do that, you will be able to get better ratings than we are getting now. And the one more point I wanted to make again. Now, Glenn Davis, you do a great job, you know, promoting soccer all across this country. But we need more than one Glenn Davis. Because no matter how great you are, if we have two of you, then we can move the needle more. So we need to have more people on television and on radio talking about soccer, instead of having some egghead who say, oh, hey, I don't know nothing about soccer. Soccer is boring. Guess what? The most boring sport I've ever heard of is called baseball. But yes, you put it on TV. So we need more Glenn Davis so we can have more visibility, because the demographics in this country is on the side of soccer.
Well, I would look at what you just said, and first of all, thank you. That's very kind. But what I would also add to that is we need more dynamic leadership in the front office of MLS teams. I think we need more dynamic leadership in our youth communities. I think we need more decisions that are made for the passionate people like you in the game, and not for a variety of other reasons. We are missing a lot of things from that standpoint. Look at our town here, and look. I'm as big a fan as there can be for the return of professional soccer in the Houston Dynamo. But the Houston Dynamo live in a bubble, unfortunately, in Houston. They do not get any criticism from anybody in a healthy way. They get no newspaper coverage. They have no mainstream coverage. They want it, but they don't get it. And that healthy pressure is not felt by not only the visionaries of the club, but the player or the coaches either. They don't feel it. They're living in a bubble.
Let me tell you a secret. If you make me the GM of Dynamo for just 1 month, okay, I will increase attendance by 50%. One.
Tell me what you would do. Tell me what you would do.
Okay, one. You see, we have a lot of faith communities here in Houston. Faith communities. I will reach out to the faith community. Those young kids of color, I will market soccer to the inner city. The black kids, Latinos already engaged. The black kids, I'll bring it both from the church. As soon as you're leaving the church, you're coming to the Dynamo game, okay? Because soccer is very family-friendly. And you have a lot of immigrant communities. You bring them in. You bring packages, involve the churches and the schools and the communities. you know, father time, you know. We have fathers that are trying to connect with their kids, their sons, their daughters.
You know how much time and effort that takes to get into those communities. You got to be willing to spend the time.
It's money. Yep. But if you invest in it, you're going to get the result.
Agreed. How about if I just say this? What about penetrating the Nigerian community? Community and all these great, the Honduran community? What more can be done for those communities?
Okay.
To get them out.
Okay. The way you can also get them out, the way I talked about the outreach to the churches now, that's the same way you can reach the Nigerian community. For instance, we have the Nigerian Foundation. We have the various ethnic associations in Nigeria. When you reach to them, give them packages, okay? Hey, this is 100 tickets. You know, that's because, you see, it's like a hook, a bait. We can just donate, like, maybe 10 tickets to the association. They want you guys to come up. When they show up next time, they're going to come back and buy a ticket.
All right, you stay with me on during this commercial break, because we got to go to commercial break. You stay with me. This is a very healthy conversation. I really like what you're saying. There are a lot of things we can do to make the MLS product more inclusive, I think. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about pricing and things like that, ticket pricing, concessions, and how that all plays into it as well, as we'll continue to do our case study here. And we'll weave in Naib and Victor on this as well. But I think this is very interesting that you've brought this up at this point, because, you know, for me, having come here in 1984 and seeing the growth of the sport and knowing how big it is here in Houston, I want to see healthy pressure rise for everybody. I want more people calling this show going, Glenn, no, you're wrong. And here's why you're wrong, and I want to give you my reasons why you're wrong. But no, look, stay with me. I got to go to break. Stay with me.
Okay.
You're not going anywhere. Stay with us. Take a quick break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 from the Gorgeous Scale, 55-55 Morningside. Let's take a Bud Light break and come back with some healthy conversation.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, 55-55 Morningside. Drive is where we are. We hope you like coffee, by the way. We had some Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 coffee mugs out here. Those are etched in gold, by the way, so nobody knows that. There's some gold. There's some fine gold etching on those. 713-780-3776. Novo is on the line. Novo, I want to let you just sum up what you wanted to say. I'm going to give you about a minute and a half. Sum up the rest of what you wanted to say.
Yes. So what I was going to finally say is that we can also reach out to the business communities. If you look, for instance, the oil sector here in Houston, you have a lot of international expats from overseas. Now, in most of these places, we have local soccer games, you know. So we can reach out to them with packages and get them, bring them to the game, you know. So first, the organization has to invest, you know, public relations. You have to invest in outreach, you know.
Do you feel like the organization? Hey, hold on one second, Nova. Do you feel like the organization is not investing enough in marketing and promotion and reaching out?
No, they are not. They are not. You know, because I'm telling you, aside from what you do on TV commercials, you need to reach out boots on the ground. Okay.
Get into the grassroots. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Get into the grassroots. You know, organize some local. For instance, what is wrong with Dynamo organizing some local friendly competitions between the Mexican community and the African community? You know, and they come there, present some free tickets to come to the game.
How about the product? How about the product, Novo?
No, the product,
is exciting, right? Like,
no, the product is exciting. MLS is great. Now,
we have exciting product here with Elise in Kyoto.
My favorite team right now is Atlanta United, because I love their brand of soccer. And number three on the list is actually the Dynamo. I have Atlanta United, I have New York, NYCFC, and then the Dynamo. So Dynamo used to be number one, but I'm telling you, ATL, they're for real.
All right, Novo, we appreciate it. thank you very, very much for this. Don't be hesitant to call in again, and I thank you for all your thoughts here. Some really good, interesting things to think about.
Anytime. Thanks.
All right, that's Novo.
Okay.
So, hey, enjoy the rest of the World Cup, too. Keep it going.
Okay, you too now. Okay.
All right. Bye. Thank you, Novo. So that's really interesting stuff. So I take it to you guys, Naib and Victor. We have an exciting product here. We have a winger-based team with Albert Elise.
Yes.
We have a All I wanted to say was we have a winger-based team that's entertaining at home, scores goals, and it wins. Novo just said it's an exciting team. He's from the Nigerian community, I believe. What's not to like about the product here in Houston at home? Not talking about the road.
Oh, it's a good product, but nobody knows about it. I mean, what you know, Portland has a good product. Atlanta has a good product. Seattle has a good product. But they have eyeballs on that product. People know them. People, you know, Atlanta United, 70,000 people a game, right? Or every other game, something like that. I mean, people know the Almirons and the Joseph Martinez, and they see them on ESPN, and they see him on Fox.
Novo just pointed out their playing style.
Yeah.
So playing style and the way the game is played is ultra important. And I think the Dynamo took a step up with the roster they
absolutely
assembled.
Did.
It was very hard to watch at times.
Oh, with Atlanta
and it
United.
Was slow and methodical. And now we have these two wingers that are blazing exciting players that are in the heads of every manager on every opposing team.
Yeah, well, you see with Atlanta United, they bring in Martino, you know, this new manager coming from with an exceptional experience. And you see New York City FC bringing Patrick Vieira. Of course, Vieira wasn't, you know, a renowned coach in Europe or whatnot. He was learning, basically coming here and learn. But he's different, you know. He has he's part of the Arsenal team that had a fantastic run, you know. And I think bringing ideas from abroad has helped those teams be so important. Here with Houston, I think it's finding a way.
They spent money on players, though, too, those two organizations.
Exactly.
They spent a ton of money on those players.
And I think that's something that Dynamo has to look at, of how to export their brand, you know, not just be a team from Houston.
Guys, I got to wrap it up here because Harrison's saying back in studio, 1 minute, Victor, thank you very much for everything that you do. Naib, you, Tascott, Tyler Scott over here, I appreciate that. And back in studio, Harrison, all going on. 713.
What is it?
And I thank Drew out here with the promotions team. Drew, I have to give you prop. And Ashley. No. Who? Tysa. I'm sorry, Tysa. Tysa's mad at me. Oh, man, I just got a bad look. Okay, Tysa, you get a free Soccer Matters mug. Okay, we're gonna take care of you, Tysa. And a soccer ball. And a bracelet. Okay, now I'm okay, right? It's all right. I forget my own name sometimes. We're going to wrap it up here from 5555 Morningside. It is the gorgeous gale. It's been a long day out here going extra time, going penalties. But what we did see today, we saw Croatia and Russia advance. Tomorrow morning right here, the gorgeous gale, 9 a.m. It is Mexico and Brazil. Get some sleep. It's going to be good tomorrow. Good night, everyone.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.